Good morning and happy Sabbath. Today I'm going to facilitate our sermon. And as I always say, I'm standing here not because I know more than you know, or God has favored me more than you. It's just that somebody had to facilitate today. So somebody has to be here to help us do a discussion. So just put me out of the way. Put me aside. Thank you, Sister Joan and Brother Derek, for that sweet song. It's one of my favorite songs and one of the best messages that were put in a song. Now we are going to pray, and I hope to take not too much of your time to discuss the topic for today. But have you ever wondered why every Sabbath we have a sermon? Why do we have a sermon every Sabbath? Of course, the other one we sing songs. We usually have it once in a month, or sometimes when we have the fifth Sabbath. Why do we have a sermon every Sabbath? You ever thought about that? Must we have a sermon? Right? Now, and Brother Jim, thank you so much. Every time I prepare a sermon, I learn something new, something that I've never thought about. I was thinking about our discussion this morning in Sabbath school, and I said, before we pray and look at today's topic, can you turn with me to John chapter 16? It's something that you know, but I just want us to read it together. John chapter 16. And I'm going to read verse 13. And I probably will skip and read another one. John chapter 16, verse 13. Verse 13 says, "How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." He will guide you into all truth. "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now, the Seventh-day Adventists, we have truth. We have the truth. And I want to believe it's the truth that comes from who? He, the Holy Spirit. Now, we discussed that this morning, and as I'm sitting there, I'm still thinking about it, and I said, maybe that's why we have a sermon every Sabbath, because we are still learning more about the truth. Not any given time should we sit down and say, well, we have the whole truth now. And that's why we have many denominations. Because if you ask the Lutheran church, they'll tell you we have what? The truth. If you ask the Catholic, they'll tell you we have the truth. Ask every denomination, they'll tell you, oh, we have the truth. And we are satisfied with that. What are you trying to tell us? Oh, about this? Oh, no, we already know the truth. We are fine. There's no time we are satisfied. We keep sitting here every Sabbath. Somebody is still growing up in this. The other person is still growing up in that. We come together in a sermon. We discuss. I go home knowing something new. You go home learning something new. And the Spirit of God is still working even today. That's why we don't stop reading the Bible every day. There are more truths in the Bible that we need to know, and he will teach us. And did you know that in heaven, there are 1,000 years, we'll still be learning about the story of redemption? Because we don't even understand everything today. 1,000 years, we'll ask questions and go through topics again and again. I want us to read verse, which verse is that? I think it's verse, let me see. This behind here. He says, "I go away." All right. Verse 7. Maybe I'll read verse 7 and 8. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter..." Who's the Comforter? Now, down there was the Spirit of truth, but now he's the Comforter. "The Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And look at verse 8. And when he is come, what is he going to do? He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I heard about planting seeds. Once you plant the seed, whose work now begins? It's the work of He, the Holy Spirit. And that's the one, is the Holy Spirit who convict the world, reprove them of sin, and so on. So when you don't see results, keep praying that He will do His work, because you've already done your work. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, thank you because you did not leave us comfortless. But Lord, you promised us that you will come to us again. Forgive me, forgive all of us. Cleanse us, dear Lord, that as we say this prayer, and we don't even know how to say the prayer, that thy Holy Spirit will say this prayer for us, and that, Lord, you'll teach us your word this morning. Now, Lord, I want you to tame my lips and my mind, that, Lord, you may speak to your people in your own way. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The ultimate rest. Now, I was talking to Sister Mary, and I hope I say the name correctly. I might say it wrongly. And we talked about rest. And I was thinking, oh, are we already talking about the sermon? And I said, well, that's the Holy Spirit working. But we agreed that we need the rest, and we need the rest for today. Now, before I start, now bear with me because I like asking questions. I always ask questions. We all need rest, right? Who doesn't need rest? Right? Somebody didn't sleep tonight, last night. Everybody slept, right? We all were sleeping, and we are here today. We are thinking, what time are we leaving so we can go and have another nap or just sit down a little bit? We all need rest. We work for 3 hours, and the next minute I say, oh, let me go and sit down for 10 minutes because I need that rest. But what do you think is the most important rest? What do you think is the most important rest that we need? Is it perhaps the Sabbath? Somebody may say, well, it's a Sabbath rest that we need. What do you think is the most important rest, according to you? Sleep in the night, the Sabbath, a walk in the park. What is the most important rest for you? I'm not talking about, now somebody's thinking, oh, maybe it's when you rest in the grave and wait for Jesus, because, you know, Paul and the others, they say, for me to die is what? Gain. You know, they want to rest. What are you saying? The Sabbath? Say again. Heavenly rest? Heavenly rest. Heavenly rest. But that would be a long one. That's a beautiful one. It would be 1,000 years, and then thereafter it will be an eternity. I mean, we'll be in heaven for 1,000 years. That would be a great, great rest. And what a perfect answer. And we are going to end up with that one. That would be the greatest rest of all. It's not the Sabbath. What is that rest? It's not resting in our graves. What is the most important rest? It's none of these two here. But I want to give you the answer at the beginning so that you can see what it means at the end. Now, the answer is, it is His rest. It is His rest. Now, His here, I mean God. It's His rest that is the most important rest. And that is the answer. God's rest, that's the rest that we need. I want us to read from Matthew, just straight how it comes. Now, Jesus, when he was in this world, he said this one message, one profound text. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. This is not the rest of the Sabbath. This is not the rest in the grave. And he's saying, come, and I will give you rest. Now, this rest, this sermon, I'm going to call it a sermon now, was not only preached to the people of that time. It was also preached to who? To me today. But surprisingly enough, it was also preached to the people who were there before Jesus was on this earth. And who are those? The children of Israel. I want us to find out what that rest was. So we know the story of the children of Israel. So I said, this message here that Jesus is saying, it was preached way long ago. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was even preached way when God created the universe. When he put the whole world in place, this message was already preached at that time. Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. It was already preached at that time. Now we know the story of the children of Israel. And I think at least in America, when you talk about slavery, we all understand the meaning of slavery. It's not sitting down in a chair in the backyard and, you know, basking in the sunshine. What does it mean? It means what? You know, it means laboring, working, being beaten, and, you know, that's what the children of Israel were doing. They were in Egypt. They worked all day. I remember the story where they were told, don't give them what? When they were making bricks. Don't give them straw. What does that mean? Put more burden on them and more pain on them by not giving them straw. But they should make the same number of what? Bricks. That is what the children of Israel were doing. No rest for them. Don't you think they really needed some bit of a rest? So if you took them out of Egypt and took them to a place where they are not slaves anymore, aren't you giving them a rest from those beatings, from making bricks, from doing all that hard labor? They needed that rest. Funny that they didn't even know that that rest is coming, but do they have an idea that someday they'll get rest? They had an idea because maybe from generation to generation they were taught that God had promised Abraham something. God had promised Abraham, who was their father, God had promised them something. Now the promises to Abraham, what did God promise Abraham? God promised him what? Of course we know he promised him a son. That was promised. What else did God promise Abraham? What? Land. God promised Abraham land. Is that so important? Just give them land where they can be. But when you think about being in Egypt, where you are a foreigner, where you're a slave, that land in itself is so important. It's actually a rest, because if they go to that land, they will rest from all their what? Their slavery. So it might look like just land. He promised Abraham, I'll give you this land. But yes, it's so important, because if they came out of Egypt and went to that land, they will have rest from slavery. So are we wrong to say that God promised Abraham rest? God promised Abraham rest. God promised Abraham rest. And I want us to see that promise. The children of Israel were promised rest through Abraham, but this story kept going with them, generation after generation. And when Moses comes to pick them up, let's see what God tells him. Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. Exodus 33, verse 13 to 14. Now, as always, we do a Bible study, a kind of a discussion. So if you get hold of your Bible, that would be great, so you can go with me and confirm what I'm saying. Exodus chapter 33, verse 13 and 14, maybe. Verse 13 and 14. Now, therefore, I pray thee. Now, Moses is speaking to God. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee what? And I'll give you what? Rest. Now, look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. What is Jesus saying? Come unto me, and I will give you rest. The same message was given to the children of Israel at that particular time. What is this rest? What is this rest that he's talking about? And this promise was kept from that time all the way as they journeyed through the desert. I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 3. You can just go over to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3, and we are going to read verse 20. What is this rest is the question that you keep asking in your mind. Deuteronomy chapter 3 verse 20 says, Until the Lord have given rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan. And then shall you return every man unto his possession, which I have given you. Now they are talking about, you see, the land of Canaan was vast land. And they're all coming in as a group. Some have received their inheritance. But others have to keep going to conquer the other areas. And there will be war, they have to take the land. They're saying, no, those who have received inheritance, you don't stay. You keep going with who? Your brothers. Until everybody has gotten their peace, then you'll come back to your land. So they're saying, stick together until everybody has received what they need. Then come back and sit in your land. Until everybody has been given rest. Think about that rest. What is that rest? So the Sabbath rest, they already knew the Sabbath because God had already told them, you keep the Sabbath. It's not rest in the grave. It's not the sleep at night. But he's saying, until God has given you rest and everybody has received their land. I want us to read Deuteronomy chapter 12. So if you go back to 12, again, rest is discussed there. They kept this in their mind. Chapter 12, let's read verse 9. Probably we'll read a couple more verses there. 12 verse 9. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God has given which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithe and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. He's telling them, it's not yet time. When you have received the rest, when you have gone over the Jordan, when you are in the land, what do you get from there? Does it mean perhaps when they have received Canaan, then they have gotten what? Rest. Does it mean when they are over in Jordan and they have gotten their inheritance? He says when you have received your inheritance, then they have come to rest. What do you think? Is it Canaan? Is it Jordan? Is it... What is this rest that they are talking about? Don't forget they are coming from slavery. They've been toiling and working hard. They've gone through the desert. They have faced hostile communities wanting to exterminate them. God is telling them, when you go over Jordan, you'll be at peace. You get the rest. From your enemies, from wars, from all this trouble, you'll have your rest. So is Canaan the rest that they were promised? Yes, Canaan is the rest that they were promised. And this is the promise that was given to who?
to Abraham.
Thank you. I forgot this. Let me hook this up before it goes off. Let me see. Okay. All right, so this is the land, Canaan. Abraham was promised rest, and they have received it. So when they go over Jordan, they are all fine. Unfortunately, not all of them entered that rest. That's the unfortunate thing. That not all of them entered that rest. Why do you think they did not enter that rest? I know you have the answer. Why do you think they didn't enter that rest? Not all of them entered Canaan. Why? Because they didn't want to? Because they died in the wilderness? Now when I think about this, I think about Caleb and his colleague. They've gone to see the land of Canaan. How many were they? How many spies were they? There were 12? I don't remember how many they were. How many were they spies? 12, right? And they came back. One group, the group of Caleb, they saw a land that is to be inhabited. They saw rest there. But the other group, what did they see? They saw a giant. So they didn't want to go in there because they are what? They're giants. I mean, how are we going to go in there and there are giants there? So they didn't want to go in there. But Caleb says, I don't see giants. I see rest. And if they are giants, I don't see them. I see who? I see God. I see the one who promised us. I see the power of the one who's taking us there. I don't want to see the giants. Unfortunately, not all of them entered the land of Canaan. Now, I want us to go to Psalm chapter 95. Psalm chapter 95. And we are going to read verse 7. Just go with me there. Psalm 95. We're going to read verse 7 through 11. Verse 7 says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of redemption of temptation in the wilderness." Now, what are we talking about? In the wilderness, who was there? The children of Israel. That's where Caleb war and everybody else is saying, don't do it like they did it in the wilderness. What happened? Verse 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. And verse 11, the most important one. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. They didn't enter into that rest. But I want you to note some things that David is talking about this way later when the children of Israel have occupied Canaan. But he's saying, don't forget, the same thing might happen today like it happened at that time. But he's also saying, there's still a rest. He's saying, you too have a rest to enter. They refused. They did not believe. God said, you won't enter my rest. Don't do it today, because you will also not do what? You won't enter that rest. There's still a rest for David at that time. Is there a rest for us today? I guess there is one. Even as it is Canaan, even as it's the land which they were promised, which was promised to Abraham. And you might say, well, good for them. They were promised Canaan. They were promised rest, and God gave them rest. That's all fine. Does it have anything to do with me today? The Canaan that they were promised. Does it have anything to do with me? They were promised, they were in slavery, they were given the rest. That's all fine. But don't forget, why in the first place are they in Egypt? Why did they go to Egypt? Why did God let them go to Egypt? And then come and save them out of Egypt? Did God have to let them go into Egypt and save them? Absolutely. Because God teaches us with what? Typologies. God teaches us with lessons, with pictures, with, you know, that. When Jesus came, he taught in parables. And which parables did he use most? He mostly used the parables of things that we know and we see, like a farmer sowing seed, a tree growing and there's a branch on it. Those parables never lose their meaning even today. And God was teaching us, me and you, a lesson by letting the children of Israel go to Egypt, and he has to let them out of Egypt. What was God teaching the whole world from that time until today? I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm just letting you think about it. So I'm not giving you the answer. I'm just, why were they in Egypt? What is God teaching me and you today from their being in Egypt, being saved out of Egypt, and being taken to Canaan, which is the rest? There is still a rest for us. Now, we live in a world that is, I don't know, most of you are much older than me. If you look at the world today and the world then when you were born, what can you say? What can you say? Getting better, right? They say, oh no, it's not getting any better. And it's a world of turmoil. And sin is getting better or worse? Sin is getting worse. And pain is getting better or worse? It's getting worse. Disease is getting worse. How many diseases we see every day? How many deaths do we receive every day? And about 100 years ago, how many people die every day? Well, somebody will say, oh no, it's because we are many of us today. Is that the truth? It could be some truth to it that we are many of us, so many are dying, but the rate at which we are losing people today is probably not the same as 100 years ago. There's a lot of pain, struggle, that everybody will say, yes, I need some rest. I need rest from my pain. I need rest from the struggles of every day. I need some rest. Now, today I can tell you that Canaan was not the fulfillment of his rest. And that's God's rest. That is not the fulfillment. Now, full means complete, right? Canaan was not the fulfillment of that rest. There is still rest. Canaan was a sign. Canaan was a typology of his rest, God's rest. It was not the fulfillment. It was given to Abraham. I mean, Abraham was promised Canaan. Did Abraham go to Canaan? Abraham, he was in Canaan? Everybody's saying, no, Abraham did not go to Canaan. What do you think? So did Abraham really receive Canaan? Did he get that land? He was promised the land. Did he receive that land? He was shown, all this land will be yours. How is it his then if he did not step in Canaan? Now let's read what Paul says in Acts chapter 7. If you go with me to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And I will read verse 5 only. Acts chapter 7, verse 5, if you're there. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he will give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him. And when as yet he had no child. What is he saying? Abraham was promised that land. Abraham was promised that rest. But did he step foot on it? No. Did he have a child? He didn't have a child at that time when he was promised. So Abraham was not there. Now let us go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews and see what Paul again says. In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, which we all know is the chapter of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. Now what we are saying is, Canaan was not the full promise. It was just a typology that God was teaching us with. Verse 39, and this, Hebrews chapter 11, and this all, having obtained, this is people, and this all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't. Verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So God did not want them to already receive the promise, because me and you still were to exist today. So Abraham did not receive it. And if you read chapter 11 of Hebrews, many others did not receive that promise until we also were included in. So that promise, that Canaan was not the final promise. It was kind of a picture to point to a better thing which me and you are receiving today. What is this rest? What is this rest? And it's one of the most important rest. That's why I called it the ultimate rest. Now later on, I'm not going to read anything. When Jesus came to the world, he went to the children of Israel and he told them, I am your Savior. What did they tell him? They said, what are you talking about? You are our Savior? We have who? Abraham. We have who? Moses. We have what? The books, we have the law, we have everything. And you come to tell us that you are our Savior. What do you think had happened to them? They had forgotten that the rest they were given in Canaan was not the final rest. That something better was still to come. That was just a picture of his rest, the rest that God wants to give us. It was just a picture. The promise was much greater than that, but they forgot about it. And what does Paul do? Paul, in Hebrews, which Brother Gary read this morning, so let us now go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now Paul says, he's now talking to his fellow Christians at that time. He's saying, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. He's warning them. He's saying, don't. Why? Because many of them had believed, we are fine. I mean, we got everything. We are the children of God. We are Israel. He's saying, no, don't do that. Because that promise, we might lose it. Verse number 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Who are these? Who are these people he's talking about? To them. He's saying to the children of Israel in the wilderness. The same way we have been told about rest with Jesus is the same way they were preached to in the wilderness. But they did not mix it with what? Faith. They didn't believe it. They said, well, that's, So Paul is saying they still rest for us. The same way they received their rest, the same way it was given to them, there is still rest for us. Is this the Sabbath rest? Is this Canaan? Now we're going to read verse number 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now Paul is saying, for those who believe, they enter into this rest. But if you don't believe, already he swore, we read Psalm 95, he said, they will not enter my rest because they don't believe and they have their hearts done what? You know, their hard hearts. They don't enter in. So I'm going to leave that part which says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. I'll just leave it at there. I'm not going to talk about it right now. Let's go to verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day. Now watch that one. On this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. I mean, we are seventh-day Adventists. And we are here on the Sabbath day worshiping God. Have you ever asked yourself, why did God give us the Sabbath? I know we know that. Which version do you have? Why did God give us the Sabbath? Say again. As what? Say it louder. As a foretaste of what? Of heaven. As a foretaste of heaven, because we are going to worship in heaven. Anybody else? Do you have another version of why? Why do you think God gave us the Sabbath? And maybe that's why do you come to every Sabbath day, why do you rest? Say again. Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So it's good for who? For us. Any other version? Why did God give us the Sabbath? Yes. Rest from? Rest from the world. Rest from the world. Yes, Gary.
Rest from my soul.
Rest for your soul. Amen. Somebody say something? No. So, and this was given from the beginning. Verse number 5. Let's read verse number 5 of Hebrews chapter 4. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Now this other place is what we read in Psalm 95. Verse number 6. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Don't forget Psalm 95. David said it already. He said, men of them did not do what? Did not enter. But Paul is saying, there's still a rest. There still remaineth a rest for us. It was not only for them. So they still rest. But he's saying, the same way that God instituted the Sabbath, he's not saying that's the rest of the Sabbath. No, he's saying, it was said, the way the Sabbath was instituted, there's still a rest for us. There's still another rest. The same way the Sabbath was instituted. And verse number 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As we read it in Psalms again, he's saying. Okay, let's read verse number 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There is still a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. I read that one. I wanted to read it later. Now, Paul is saying, the same way the Sabbath was instituted, in another way he said, I want to give you rest. When Jesus stood and said, come unto me, I may give you rest. It was not the Sabbath rest. And that's the rest Paul is saying. But verse 10, he's saying, this rest was instituted from the beginning of the world. But when you enter into this rest, you cease from your works. Now, I'm not going to read that, but how did God institute the Sabbath? He said, remember the Sabbath day to do what? To keep it holy, continue for, and do all these works, but the Sabbath day is what? Thy work. For God created heavens and earth in six days, and then on the seventh day he did what? He rested. He rested from what? His works. Well, now I hear some people say, God was not tired to rest. Is that true? Of course, God was not tired to rest. But why did he rest then? Don't answer the question now, but he rested from what? His works. He left his works aside. And verse 10, Paul is saying, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has done what? Ceased from his own works. Now you are here today, you are not in your office. Is that what he means? You are here today because you are not in the office. Is that all he means? I think there's something more to that. He says from his works. Your works are not the office. The office is where you earn a living from. Of course, that's what we work on. Now later on, we're going to see it's more with office and everything else. You have to cease from your own works. God was doing his creation work, and he created us. It's a little bit more to that. I will read verse, let's keep reading so we can finish. I wanted to do it faster, but it's getting more longer. Okay, verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Okay. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any knowledge, a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened into the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's verse 14. I'll stop at verse 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And then he goes on, verse 15, to explain, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all thought, all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. I'm going to pause a little bit for verse 16. I'm going to pause for verse 16. Pause for verse 16 before we read it. Now, maybe that's the climax of our reading. Now, verse 16, he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And this is the rest. He says, it's not the Sabbath rest, but this is the rest that we were promised. And whosoever enters into this rest ceases from his works. All right? Not only the office, let's talk about the office. He's insisting on ceasing from your works. What are our works? The merits of my own. I can make myself good for heaven. No. He says, put that down. Put your own works, your own goodness, put it down and enter into this rest. And the rest, he's saying, is the grace that we may obtain mercy and that we may find grace. He who enters ceases from his works. He's saying, You don't have to labor to enter into this rest. The children of Israel did nothing to gain Canaan. They did nothing at all. You don't have to labor. The only labor you need to do is come into that rest. And maybe believe. I don't know whether belief is a labor or something. Sometimes it's hard to believe that we can make it. Sometimes I sit down and say, Lord, am I going to make it? Sometimes when I see the world and the turmoil in the world, I imagine, am I going really to make it? And sometimes, you know, you sit down and you say, it's already so bad. Things are really, really bad. But as we know, they're going to get worse than this. Am I going to make it? You know, sometimes you think about the plagues. How many have read Revelation and you look at those plagues and things pouring down and so on. And I say, wow, am I really going to make it? It's hard to believe it. But the thing is, we have only two choices. To rest in that rest that is provided, or to struggle and survive. Now here, I've heard in the news, people say, you know what, some people are living from paycheck to paycheck, and that's really bad. And I think about the children of Israel, that they got manna only for what? One day. And God was teaching them to have faith and to believe in Him. And I say, well, maybe after all, it's not bad to live from paycheck to paycheck, because if God is going to provide for tomorrow, maybe that's all good. Sabbath after Sabbath, as we sit here, and I'm cutting this short, Sabbath after Sabbath, as we sit here, we are proclaiming that we are entering into His rest. I know that, yes, we say we worship on the Sabbath day because God created the heavens and earth and He rested on the seventh day. That's all good and that's all fine. But in Exodus 31 and 13, He says, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it's what? A sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does what? Sanctify you. Yes, it's because God rested on the seventh day, but it's a sign for our sanctification. It's a sign for our rest. And He repeats that, I don't know how many times, but I see it in Ezekiel chapter 20, where He still says, it's a sign that I sanctify you. So Sabbath after Sabbath, as we come here and sit down, we are saying, Lord, we accept your rest, which is come to the throne of mercy and receive grace. All we need is to believe. Now, I want to leave you with this encouragement that as the times get tough, as we think about those plagues, as we think about the political turmoil that is coming, the persecution that might be coming, the pain, the disease, all those things, we can say, yes, Lord, we accept your rest. And He promises to give us rest not only for today, but rest all the way to the Canaan that He has prepared for us. And this text, I took it from, I remember the book is Rest and Redemption, you know, for the People of God. He says, we will dwell in those resting places in peace. And that's the kind of the end point of it. The rest is for us today, tomorrow, and at the final place where we'll be, and that's in the New Jerusalem. I get encouraged with this, but I want to encourage you too that don't give up. Just have faith that He has promised us the rest. And as we come to Sabbath every day, we are saying, yes, Lord, we accept that rest. And it's a sign for us to remember that the rest was already provided and there's no much I should do. It was from the beginning of the world that Sabbath was instituted to remind us that God is the one who provides the rest and not for us to struggle and try to survive. That's my prayer for you this morning. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for you remembered us and gave us your word. That through thy word we are sanctified. And thank you, Lord, that you promised us that you will give us rest from our pain, from sin, from struggle. And the Lord, you will finally put us together that we may rest with you. How we pray this morning that, Lord, you may refresh our minds and our hearts and give us that hope that we may believe in you and have faith that, Lord, we may enter into your rest. Be with us as we go through the next week. Protect us, O Lord, and when it's thy will, bring us back here together to share again, encourage one another. May thy grace and mercy go with us, and may thy Holy Spirit abide with us as we leave each other. We praise you and thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.